Good morning. Welcome to the show, Money Matters. I'm John Rudy from Kingston Wealth Management. Thanks for joining me today. Always glad to have you on Saturday morning. It's great to talk about all things financial. Joining me is Chris Rudy from Kingston Wealth Management as well. Chris, good morning.
Good morning.
So it's been an interesting week. Volatility has continued. I guess the only constant is the fact that we've got some volatility out there. And a lot of the days in the past week saw pressure to the downside. A lot of explanation for that. What are you seeing that was driving the market mostly this past week?
Well, obviously, you had the big news earlier in the week about Facebook and some of their users' identities being sold, and just a whole host of issues around Facebook that seemed to drag down some of the tech sector and maybe pull everything a little bit lower in general. I don't, you know, ever really focus on too much of one company really moving a market for any length of time. There may be a story or two for a new cycle that can affect short-term, intermediate-term trading volatility. I think, you know, obviously we saw the Federal Reserve ended up even having their meeting.
Right.
There was some snow issues that we weren't sure what they were going to come out with, but they did, and really kind of in keeping with what they've said, raising interest rates another 0.25%. But people need to understand that that is because of
strength.
Good economic outlook still. We're still anticipating good economic numbers, so that need to make sure that we are addressing it from an interest rate standpoint is still there. I think you would have seen even more volatility had they come out and maybe changed course, backed off a little bit. That could have really thrown some uncertainty into the market.
I think the other news of the week was certainly the discussion on the budget, huge expenditures that are being debated right now. Clearly, $21 trillion now deficit and going higher. How much is that weighing in on Wall Street from that standpoint?
Well, anytime that you propose $1.3 trillion on really anything, I'm sure it's going to have an impact. And, you know, while I think there's a lot of positive things to point in there, I know that there's a lot of unhappy people as well saying, hey, this is not addressing that mounting debt issue, which, you know, it seems like we've been talking about for years, and it still is there. And I don't think we've taken too many steps to address that. But at the same time, I don't get as concerned as maybe some other folks do. You know, there's a lot of people that will extrapolate kind of those doomsday scenarios, which I guess if you believe that we would ever get to that point would be a problem. But we have a long history in this country of doing everything wrong before we do the right thing, or trying to skip out on taking the necessary step until we have to. So I look for, before any of that doomsday scenario to ever materialize, something will happen. We'll address it. It may not be all things to all people, but you know, it's certainly not something that I get maybe as excited about as certain people out
Jim Cramer
in the media. Yeah. to just name one.
Yeah. The guy 3 days before Wachovia went under said it was a goodbye, and 3 days later they're gone. So now I agree with you. I think it's, there's so many good positives going on right now in the economy. One of the things is we've talked about consumer confidence, and that still remains extremely strong right now. And I think that's what's kind of buoying a lot of the things that are going. The other thing too, Chris, is the housing market. Even though I think on the larger projects might be hitting a little bit of a slowdown, single family home starts have still been really good, up about 2.9%. So people are still out there looking for homes.
Yeah, I mean, I think you keep in mind with rising interest rates, that's going to make financing some of these projects, the larger ones you mentioned, a little bit harder maybe than what it was a year ago at this time when we're comparing different lending rates. But, you know, we highlighted last week with such a strong jobs number, not only the jobs that are being added, but the number of people who are, again, standing up to be counted as amongst those who even are looking for a job. I think that's still a really strong signal. And we know not only here locally in McLean County, but really all over the state and the country, people are going back to work.
Yeah.
People are hiring. There's being money spent by employers. So I think that is the overwhelmingly positive aspect to take from this. So, you know, how to navigate the ins and outs of maybe an up or down week, or, you know, we talk about, I know China.
I was going to ask about tariffs.
Yeah, another $50 billion potentially kind of getting rolled out against some Chinese goods that we import. And, you know, you may see for the next few months to even through the remainder of the year some tougher trade talk on both sides, mm-hmm. From both countries. And it's not new. It's maybe something we haven't seen for a while. So, again, it's one of those things, if it's out of sight, we haven't dealt with it for a while, people seem to maybe pay more attention, react a little bit more quickly. But it's certainly out there to be monitored. But again, nothing we haven't seen before.
Last 10 seconds. What about oil? What are you seeing? Not too bad a move, $64 somewhere in that.
Yeah. I mean, it's still noticeably higher than where we were 2 years ago. Still noticeably lower than we were 4 years before that. But we're starting to see that uptick in gas prices. Summer approaching. So still affordable, though.
We'll take a quick break, back in just a couple minutes with more Money Matters.
I'm not only an administrator, I'm a mom, too. Hi, this is Katie, owner of Katie's Kids Learning Center. And I understand the importance of delicious, healthy foods. That's why we have personal on-site chefs who create fresh homemade purees for infants and tasty meals your children will love. We encourage good eating habits in a family-style environment. Don't have time to make dinner? We'll provide meals to go. These are just a few of the many reasons families and kids love Katie's Kids. Call or come in to enroll your child today or visit katieskids.net.
Have you been to Baxter's Restaurant and Chop House lately? If you haven't, you're missing one of the best dining experiences in the area. Enjoy a certified Angus beef hand-cut steak or perhaps some of their seafood that's flown in daily, as fresh as you can get. Baxter's also features fine wines and spirits to complement their menu choices. And don't forget about daily happy hour specials and gift cards for the holidays. When you're looking for an enjoyable lunch or dinner experience, look no further than Baxter's, located on East Empire across from the airport and now open in Champaign-Urbana.
Welcome back to the show, Money Matters. Thanks for tuning in this morning. Always glad to have you aboard. It's got a lot of information that we try to cover for this show. Certainly want to thank the folks who have made some nice positive comments. I know Chris and Kevin have gotten a lot of calls in the last few months, and we'll give you the phone number at the end of the show. And if you've got questions, follow up, ideas on future shows, that's another thing too. We had a great call from a client who listens to the show and wants us to spend a little more time talking about maybe things that affect small business. And so next week we're going to do a show on business planning, maybe some strategies for exit strategies for folks looking to move on. So we'll try to, if you've always listened to good ideas, if you've got some things you want us to talk about. Chris, one thing I want to talk about, I think it's pretty timely today, is it's that time of year when we're all getting close to tax time, and unfortunately it's never a fun time in most families' households. Now, some folks are on the other side of the spectrum, which we'll talk about, that they're going to be getting some things back. We mentioned several weeks back that we are going to be in the last year of the tax plan as we know it. The new approved tax plan that takes effect next year will change some of the things we're going to talk about today, but the principles are all going to be the same. And I think the one thing, from what I understand, you're going to get a couple extra days this year. So if you're a procrastinator like me and wait till the end, you're going to get, I think, till the 17th, just because of a couple holidays in there. But first and foremost, Chris, the things that people need to know about is kind of how it started out, how do tax brackets work. Right now, it looks like there's seven brackets, anywhere from 10% to 39.6, depending on where you're at. We're still in a kind of a progressive system, aren't we?
Yeah, and definitely. And I think most people, we've been in this current tax system so long, they're at least familiar with how the brackets work. Obviously, a lot of times people refer to, hey, I'm in the 35% tax bracket. But that doesn't mean that all of your income is taxed at that 35% level. That may be your top marginal. That may be the last few dollars of your income are taxed at that highest rate. But it starts off that, you know, I think even the first few thousand dollars actually aren't taxed, and then there's breakpoints along the way. So each of those ranges that you hit are taxed at a little bit of a lower rate, and then as your income increases, you start to pick up tax dollars in the higher rates. And, you know, I think it's good to point out here at the beginning of all this tax discussion that, hey, we're going to try to give you some very basic ideas, you know, our thoughts on it. when it comes time to tax season, if you're working with somebody, continuing to work with them, continuing to base any tax decisions off of consultation with your tax advisor. But you know, we'll try to be helpful where we can.
I'm going to jump down the list here a little bit, because while you talked about that, and I agree with you, it's not what we're talking about. It's more generalized. But when does someone really look at hiring a professional, a pro? What are the kind of things that would make that decision to do that easier?
Yeah, I would think any time that you just really get beyond a pretty not complex return. If you've got other than W-2 income or standard 1099 mm-hmm. income, you know, if you own a business,
right.
if you've maybe sold a property, mm-hmm. If you've done something different in your investments, it's always good to make sure that all of that is accounted for properly, because for some people, they go along with a pretty fairly simple return.
Right.
But then you have a year or two in there where you do some different things in the year, but always better to, nobody wants to pay a lot for
right
preparation, taxes prepared, right. but you know, there's a lot of times yeah. where what you would end up paying somebody to help you prepare a return could save you immensely on the back end from some type of either audit or maybe you missed something. So really weighing the cost up front versus what it potentially could be saving you from in the long run.
And you've used those online. Some of those programs are pretty good, but they still don't replace that professional from that in those real esoteric plans.
Yeah, all the ones you see advertised on TV can get for pretty much anybody a basic return, help you fill out. They can help you identify areas where maybe you're allowed to take some deductions or some credits that you're eligible for. But like I say, if you're a business owner of any kind, if you've got different streams of income, if you make income in different states, properties,
right.
anything that kind of moves it beyond that simple, what I call simple return, probably doesn't hurt to engage someone.
You mentioned deductions and credits, and that was on my list today to talk about. Explain sort of simply what the difference, a major difference between when someone talks about a deduction versus a credit.
Yeah, deductions will take away from your taxable income what we ultimately calculate, what portion of your income is taxable. So, you know, many people that don't itemize just take the standard deduction, which I believe right now for an individual is $6,000 mm-hmm. or right around there, and it's actually going to get bigger next year. But that, you know, that reduces your taxable income. A credit, on the other hand, is a direct reduction of your tax bill.
Right.
So that those are factored in after you figure out how much your taxes are. Then those credits kick in and directly reduce that dollar for dollar,
right.
whereas deductions don't always do that.
Yeah, good explanation. When folks start out, whether you're new to the working world or you've been in it, there's those W-4s, the W-4 forms that you fill out to really make a decision on how much tax to withhold. Those are important decisions, and they vary between person to person.
Well, and it really depends on what your immediate income needs are versus your ability to maybe pay a tax bill closer to this time of year. Obviously, the more withholding that you have out of your
right.
paycheck, the better likelihood that you're either going to come out right on the dollar or maybe
get
a little bit back, which for some people, it's almost the idea of like a forced savings where, hey, if we know we're going to get something back when we file our taxes that we maybe normally would have spent, that's okay. But also keep in mind, you're giving the government a tax-free loan at that point by having too much withheld. I think a lot of people maybe in February of this year saw that your paycheck changed a little bit.
Right.
And that's because of some of the new tax brackets that are coming into effect. But it's probably also a good time to take a look at your withholding.
It is a good time.
Maybe you've had a child throughout the year, you've got another deduction. So it's a way to put more dollars in your weekly paycheck versus waiting till the end of the year. But yeah, always good to kind of know where you stand anyway.
While I'm thinking about that too, I think you've mentioned to folks that a 401k contribution has to be made prior to the new year, January 1. But there's still time if you're eligible for an IRA account, other type of things. You can still make it up until what time?
Yeah, just until tax, whenever you file your taxes.
Yeah. Good. I think it's worth pointing out because it's any time you can minimize that hit, those are great things to take a look at. Chris, what about, you know, we talk about filing on time and I sort of tease that I always wait till the end, but there are some consequences if you absolutely miss the deadline and don't file on time.
Yeah, late filing penalty can be up to 5% per month, up to 25% of your unpaid taxes. So you should file your return even if you can't pay your tax bill because it can keep you from maybe incurring even more in the way of money owed. So and you don't want to ever run afoul the IRS or subject yourself to any type of an audit because it just takes your time in addition to your money. So better to always try to hit that deadline and really go from there.
Yeah, I think that's it's a stressful time as it is. Nobody likes doing it, but just pretending it's not there is not the strategy, and it really can be problematic. Record keeping, all those things are so important. Good discussion. I'm glad we wanted to hit on that a little bit today. Need to take a break. When we come back, we have one more subject to cover. Back in just a minute.
Our parents take care of us through every stage of our life. They hold our hand as we take our first steps. They cheer us on as we move through life's milestones. And they celebrate with us as we venture into the world as adults. When it comes time to focus on caring for our parents, show them how exciting retirement living can be at Westminster Village. Westminster Village, a continuing care retirement community, offers more than a place to live. They offer a worry-free lifestyle with ample opportunities to celebrate every step of life's next journey. Westminster Village provides independent living, licensed assisted living, and skilled nursing care, so our parents are always taken care of. Our parents guided us through all of life's adventures. Now's our chance to help them celebrate theirs. To learn more about the finest in retirement living, visit westminstervillageinc.com and schedule an appointment today. That's westminstervillageinc.com.
When is the last time your bank did something exciting? Something truly amazing? It's time you discover Bloomington Normal Community Bank, your home for amazing banking experiences.
With the Amazing Account, your checking account earns an annual percentage yield of 5.01% on up to $5,000, rewarded to you in points.
Then you can redeem these points for gift cards, travel, merchandise, even cash.
Plus, there are other ways your Amazing Account earns points, like using your debit card. So why choose ordinary when you can have something amazing?
Some conditions apply. Come see one of our amazing bankers. We have time for you. Bloomington Normal Community Bank, a division of Morton Community Bank, member FDIC.
Show Money Matters. I'm John Rudy, joined by Chris Rudy from Kingston Wealth Management. Glad you're aboard here this morning. Certainly want to thank our sponsors, as we always do, folks at Bloomington Normal Community Bank, also Baxter's Grill, Katie's Kids Learning Center, and Westminster Village, all right here in McLean County. Thanks for being part of this this show each Saturday. Chris, one last topic I did want to talk about. You guys have talked about the importance of making sure your beneficiary designations were done properly. Now that we're at sort of a time when you're reviewing documents for tax time, that's one that you shouldn't overlook.
No, not at all. And you know, we list beneficiaries on many things, from life insurance policies, 401ks through work, IRAs. And, you know, when a lot of times when these things are set up, we have one beneficiary name, depending on if you're just starting off in your work career, maybe you've named a parent or a sibling if you're unmarried at the time. 10, 15, 20 years down the line, you may have a spouse, right, children, other people that you would want to change that to. And so it's good to make sure that those are at least reviewed periodically to make sure that they are exactly the way that you want, because a couple situations can occur. And, you know, unfortunately, we've seen it and been able to head it off where had actually somebody that had a divorce mm-hmm. and had a former spouse listed as their beneficiary. We caught it and said, well, hey, if something were to happen to you and it listed this way, that's who would be the, you know, the beneficiary of these dollars.
Even if you change your will in your estate plan, if that designation on that particular item is not changed,
right,
supersedes.
Those are account specific. Those types of account passed by beneficiary, they're not included or passed by the direction of your will. So it's very important. And the other thing that I think is also important to talk about is adding contingent beneficiaries.
Yes.
A lot of times a very traditional would be to name a spouse as the primary. Nobody likes to think about it, but in the event of any type of a common accident, car accident, you name it, if there's no, you know, secondary beneficiary named, contingent beneficiary, those dollars in the case of a 401k or an IRA mm-hmm. that are taxable, if you remove them from the IRA, those dollars go to your estate and become taxable. If you list a contingent beneficiary, those people can continue on that tax deferral, and any withdrawals that need to come out are much smaller and based on their life expectancy.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And I think because these things do affect your estate, I mean, and I've always been told, and I think it's probably true, is that if you're naming a spouse as a beneficiary, the tax consequence is a little bit clearer, a little bit easier than if you're not, but that has to be designated as well.
Yeah, passing IRA benefits specifically to talk about to a spouse is mm-hmm. very simple. They can just assume them as their own. They have to take those distributions once they turn 70 and a half. If you name a non-spouse beneficiary, they have a few options. They can obviously take the money if they want. The taxes are due. They can take it out in a substantially equal payments over about a 5-year period. Or what most people elect to do is kind of continue on in an inherited IRA.
Right.
Have to take out a little bit each year, but it's much smaller because, again, based on the beneficiary's life expectancy.
Good information. I hope that helps some folks out there. It comes up a lot, believe me. And I think it's one of those things that you don't want to make those mistakes because the cost of probate can be very, very expensive. Got to go. Thanks. We've had a great show this morning. We'll be back next week. Give us a call at 663-9477 if you have any questions. John Rudy from Kingston Wealth Management saying thanks for listening. Money.
Securities offered through Valmark Securities, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Valmark Advisors, Inc., an SEC-registered investment advisor. Kingston Wealth Management, Inc. is a separate entity from Valmark Securities, Inc. and Valmark Advisors, Inc.
Over the years, the professional advisors at Kingston Wealth Management have talked about the many benefits of comprehensive financial planning. Perhaps one of the areas that you could be faced with is an offer for early retirement. Questions come up like, what do I do if I'm offered a severance package? How will I handle health insurance prior to becoming eligible for Medicare coverage? At Kingston Wealth Management, we specialize in preparing our clients for opportunities as well as obstacles that may serve us along the way. If you're seeking advice for issues like this and many other questions that come up regarding your retirement strategy, give us a call and we'll be happy to arrange a meeting free of cost to explore the best path together. Call us at 663-9477 to make an appointment soon, and check us out on the website at kingstonwealthmanagement.net. To make sure you're getting the best advice before you're presented with options for you and your family, talk to us. We're the Kingston Wealth Management Group, financial services above and beyond.
Securities offered through Valmark Securities, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Valmark Advisors, Inc., an SEC-registered investment advisor. Kingston Wealth Management, Inc. is a separate entity from Valmark Securities, Inc. and Valmark Advisors, Inc.